2 Kings chapter number 6 is where we'll be. Let's do this. If you are physically able, I'd like to invite you to stand out of respect for God's word as we read 2 Kings chapter number 6. I'll begin reading in verse number 15. I'll read through verse 17. And then throughout the message, we'll take some time to unpack more of this particular passage. 2 Kings chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 15, the word of God says, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant, Elisha's servant, said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Our theme for this particular message this evening is simply this: sometimes God fixes our problems, but often he fixes our perspective toward the problem instead. So this evening, I'd like to take a moment and just spend some time looking at the miraculous power of a changed perspective. Shall we pray? Dear gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for giving us an opportunity like this in the middle of a busy week, Lord, to pull away from just the distractions of life, to spend some time in your presence around your word. And Lord, we're asking that you would use your word, Lord, to work in our hearts, to encourage us, Lord, to stir us toward a deeper affection for you and all that you are and all that you desire to be. I pray that you would help me say that which you would want me to say and not say those things that you would not have me say. Lord, I pray that you would do in hearts, Lord, that which I'm incapable of doing. And that's really, Lord, speaking to the hearts and souls of individuals. I pray that you would bless, Lord, our time together this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Let me give you a quick background on this particular story as we get into it. The king of Syria has just declared war against the nation of Israel. So the king of Syria meets with his military officers and tells them exactly where he wants his armies to attack the Israelites from. But before the Syrians are actually able to attack, Elisha gets a message to the king of Israel telling them not to go to this particular location because that's where the Syrians are ready to ambush them. Well, this exact scenario plays out not just one time or two times, but several times where finally the king of Syria gathers his leaders together and demands to know who the spy is in their midst. I mean, after all, how is the nation of Israel finding out about what's going on? And so at one point, one of the officers steps forward and says, King, it's no spy. It's a man by the name of Elisha. He's a prophet of God. In fact, he tells the king of Israel everything that you talk about. He even tells them the stuff that you talk about in your bedchamber. Well, of course, the king of Syria is furious and demands that someone go find Elisha. Eventually, the Syrians discover that the prophet is living in a city called Dothan. Now, Dothan is a small city about 54 miles north of Jerusalem. It's nestled among some hills, and the spies come back to the king of Syria and says he dwells in Dothan. So the king orders an army big enough to surround the entire city to go and capture this one lone prophet. Now, if you ask my opinion on this, you know, if you ask me, to send an entire army to go and capture one old man is a little bit of an overkill. But have you ever been there in your own life? Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like the enemy was going a little bit overboard trying to destroy you? Have you ever been in a situation where it just felt like, man, when it rains, it pours? It's not just like there's a troop. I mean, it feels like the enemy has sent an entire army to discourage you, to destroy you, to attack you. Which brings us to our first point that we're going to look at this evening, and that is simply this. I want you to see in verses 15 and verses 16, a hopeless problem. A hopeless problem. Here in this passage is we see the servant of Elisha is here. He wakes up that particular morning, and in verse 15, when he opens up the door, he looks out, and the Bible says that the entire city where Elisha lived was literally surrounded with these Syrian soldiers. And when they see that, these two men, Elisha and Elisha's servants, they both have two different reactions to what they see in front of them. I want you to notice here the reaction of this servant in verse number 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host come past the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Elisha, alas, my master. He says, how shall we do? What he's saying here is, what are we supposed to do now? I don't know, but that servant kind of reminds me of myself sometime. And in this passage, I want you to see the servant's confused state. The servant's confused state. He's saying, what are we supposed to do? And oftentimes our first response can be much like this servant. We see these overwhelming difficulties around us, and our first reaction is wanting to do something. You ever been there before? Man, you're just faced with obstacles, you're faced with challenges, and your heart starts going forward, and you're like, what am I supposed to do about this? The children of Israel in Exodus found themselves in a similar situation, not knowing what to do. In Exodus chapter number 14, of course, they're trapped in the wilderness. They've got the Red Sea before them. The Egyptian armies are bearing down on them from behind. And these children of Israel literally cry out to Moses, what are we supposed to do now? And Moses responds and says unto the people in Exodus 14, fear ye not. Just like Elisha told his servant, he said, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. You see, rather than do something first, sometimes God just wants us to stand still and look to him for a moment. He wants to give us a fresh perspective of who he is and a new vision for what he's capable of doing. And I want to remind the Lancaster Baptist Church here even this evening, you serve a great God. And when challenges are bearing down against you and you find yourself in hopeless situations with problems here and problems there, I want you to remind yourself that, you know what, every once in a while it's okay, rather than rushing off to do this or trying to figure out how to do that, that there is a moment just to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see this servant, he was confused, but Elisha knew that they had a great God. You see, Elisha knew that his God, like our God, was a God that literally spoke the universe into its existence. Elisha understand that his God literally flung the planets into their orbit. He understood that their God literally, he breathed life into mankind. You see, the God that we serve is a God that literally split wide open the Red Sea. We serve a God that brought down the walls of Jericho. We serve a God that literally brought fire from heaven. We serve a God that literally closed the mouths of lions for Daniel. That's the God we serve. And I'll say this, that same God that spoke the world into its existence, and the same God that literally split wide open the Red Sea, the same God that brought fire from heaven, the same God that closed the mouth of lions, is the exact same God that you and I serve today. Amen. The Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when the servant asks Elisha, what should we do? Elisha says in verse number 16, he simply responds, fear not. Not only do we see the servant's confused state, but we see Elisha's confident spirit. Fear not. What's Elisha communicating here? What Elisha is communicating to the servant in the midst of the situation, literally with the Syrian army surrounding their city, what Elisha is saying here, he's saying, hey, God's got this under control. He's got this all working together. And I want to say to you today, you might find yourself in a situation where the problems of life are just bearing down on you. You might look at a health situation in your family. You might be in a situation where you're wondering to yourself, how is this ever going to come together? You might be in a situation right now and in some relationship in your life. Maybe it's a relationship with a spouse, or maybe it's in your relationship with your children, and you're just confused about how it's all going to work out. And in fact, when you look at the stage of your life, you're wondering, what's God doing here? Maybe it's a financial situation that you have. Maybe you're here as a college student and you're wondering how all the bills are going to be met, how all the things are going to come together. And I want to say, as you look at the stage of your life, you might step back and say to yourself, I don't understand what God's doing here. I don't understand what's going on. But I want to say this, on the grand stage of life, it may seem like everything is falling apart. But I want to remind you that God is doing something behind the curtain. That on the backstage, behind the stage, I want to say to you, in ways that you might not even be aware of, that we serve a God that is sovereign, we serve a God that is provident, we serve a God that works all things together for good. Amen. And you can trust Him. And so as Elijah is communicating here with his servant, he conveys a confident spirit. You know, for some of you, you might look at the stage of your life, and it may seem like the end. But it might be the beginning of a miracle, just like we're about to see in this story. You see, why could Elisha say, "Fear not"? How could he come to that position? Is Elisha just practicing the power of positive thinking? Is that what's going on here? No, not at all. In fact, this statement is based on a very real spiritual reality. I can almost imagine standing there. Here's the servant, Elisha. He's saying, "Hey, fear not." And you can almost picture on the servant's face this countenance of confusion. Like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you even mean? And so Elisha goes on and he says, "For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Which brings us here to our second insight this evening, and that is simply this. Not only in this passage do we see a hopeless problem, and both of these men had a different perspective on what was going on, but I want you to notice secondly here in verses number 16, a heavenly perspective. Not only do we see a hopeless problem, but we see a heavenly perspective. And the statement we find in verse number 16, made by Elisha, reveals two aspects of Elisha's perspective. First of all, Elisha believed here that God was with them in the midst of this difficulty. Notice what it says. They that be with us. You say, how is it that Elisha could convey, fear not? How is it that he could be confident? How was it that he could maintain a spirit of faith even when the entire Syrian army is surrounding his village? How is it that he could maintain his composure? It's because Elisha believed that God was with him. And in this particular situation, not only was God with them in the difficulty, but God had brought reinforcements. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. The psalmist said something similar in Psalms 139. He says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." The psalmist is literally saying, when everything feels like it's going well, God is with us. But even when everything feels like it's falling apart, God is still with us. You see, he believed that God was with them in the midst of the difficulty, but it didn't stop there. He believed that God not only was with them in the midst of the difficulty, but he believed that God was greater than the difficulty. Notice what it says. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. See, after Elisha makes this statement, I'm sure the servant must be thinking, Elisha's delusional. What's he even talking about right here? You see, both of these men had a different perspective. Now, I want you to understand, they're both going through the same situation physically, are they not? They're both in the home. Both of them have been surrounded by the army. Both of them are getting close to some very difficult situations, and yet their response is very, very different. You see, one of them was responding through the lens of temporal reality, while the other one responded through the lens of a spiritual, eternal reality. You see, we all find ourselves in situations like that. Maybe you've been at work sometime and you got laid off just like all the other folks got laid off, and yet there was something different about your spirit. And people around you begin to wonder, how is it that you can maintain such composure? How is it that you're not getting all riled up about this? Maybe it's another situation that you're going through that someone else is going through. You say, what makes all the difference? The perspective makes all the difference. When you're seeing things through heaven's lenses, when you're seeing it from God's perspective, it's going to affect the way you interact with it, the way you engage it. 1 John tells us, ye are of God, little children, and I have overcome, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I just remind you of this? The biggest problem you face might not be the problem itself. The biggest problem you face may be the way you view problems. You see, for Elisha, when he looked out his window and he saw the armies, he looked at his servant scared and overwhelmed. And in that moment, Elisha saw that the real problem was not outside their walls. The real problem wasn't the circumstances. The real problem wasn't the situation at hand. The real problem wasn't the armies out there. He recognized that in this moment, the real problem was how his servant was viewing the problem. He saw that the real issue was the perspective that he had in the midst of the problem. So what does Elisha do? He prays. And he prays for a miracle. Notice verse number 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Which leads us to our final main point in this message. Not only here do we see in this particular passage a hopeless problem, and not only do we see a heavenly perspective, but I want you to see in verse number 17, a humble prayer. It's a very simple prayer. Just 11 words. But I want you to notice a couple of aspects of this prayer. First of all, I want you to see that this prayer was spiritually focused. Notice what it says in verse 17. And he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Now, what I found interesting about this passage is what Elisha doesn't pray for. I don't know about you, but if I were in this situation, probably the first thing I would be praying for is for God to take care of this army. If I was in this situation, I might be praying for God to kind of make all the army maybe just die or something right there. I'd be praying about my situation. I'd be praying about my circumstances. But in this passage, you don't see Elisha praying for changed circumstances. You don't see Elisha praying for easier situation. You don't see him praying for a comfortable outcome. You see, first and foremost, Elisha's prayer was very spiritual in nature. He's not praying that God would fix his circumstances, that God would change things out there. He starts by recognizing that the change that needs to take place needs to happen in here. I see this prayer was spiritually focused. James alludes to this when he says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's not times where we shouldn't pray for physical needs. I think there's a time and a place where we should pray for God to do something in the physical realm. But I think it's very interesting that in this passage, that's not where Elisha starts. He doesn't pray, God, fix this situation. It's more like, God, fix us. So often we want God to change our circumstances, and God wants to change our hearts, our perspectives. And so we find ourselves going through situations, we find ourselves going through trials, we find ourselves in the midst of a problem, in the midst of an obstacle, and oftentimes if we're not careful, the first thing we want to do is say, God, fix this. God's kind of saying, I want to start by fixing you. I see the prayer was spiritually focused, but I want you to notice something else about this humble prayer. The prayer was supernaturally fulfilled. The Bible says the Lord opened his eyes. Notice here we see that God literally did give a miracle. Now I realize as you read through the scriptures, there is some incredible miracles that takes place through the Word of God. And I know at first glance, this might not seem like the most epic miracle that's ever taken place. But I want to declare to you this evening that a changed perspective that allows you to see things as God sees them and to view them as heaven views them is a miracle of epic proportion. To get to a place where you can view things as God views it and see it as God sees it, that is a miracle. In fact, it was so important that Elisha actually took the time to prioritize that prayer, that request, above asking for some physical deliverance from his circumstances and from his situation. That's how big of a deal it was to Elisha. You know, spiritual perspective and a fresh vision to see things as God sees it, even our problems, to view our problems and to view our situations and to view our circumstances as God is viewing it, is something that God wants to do. And he does it in response to prayer. When a problem comes into your life, when it feels like the enemy has just surrounded your home, when you find yourself in a situation where you're thinking to yourself, I don't know if I'm going to survive this. I don't know if my marriage is going to survive this. I don't know if my children and our relationship and our family, I don't know if we're going to be able to get through this. When you find yourself in the midst of just a hopeless, overwhelming situation, I ask you, what's your prayer sound like? Here in this passage, there was a prayer. Oh, God, help us to see this as you see it. And when that was requested, God answered. Verse 17, see what it says. It says, the Lord opened his eyes and he saw. And behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. You see, the moment Elisha prayed, they got done praying, they opened their eyes, and now that servant could see the situation from heaven's eyes. He got a glimpse of what was going on, not through a temporal perspective, but from God's perspective, and it changed everything. He saw the angelic chariots round about. He could literally see the physical manifestation there of God's presence in that place. And I want to say to you, when God performs this type of miracle, he doesn't always remove the negative physical realities. Often, he just reveals grander spiritual realities. What I'm saying is this. Oftentimes we're praying, God, remove this situation. God, let me free from this circumstance. God, I don't want to go through these uncomfortable situations. God, I don't want to do this anymore. And God's coming along and saying, hey, I know you want to be out from under it, but I want to use this in your life to forge you into the image of Christ. And so when God does a miracle of a changed perspective, he doesn't always do away with the difficulty. He doesn't always do away with the uncomfortable circumstances. Often what he does when in a case like this where he gives us not, he doesn't change the physical realities, but he gives us a grander perspective of what he is doing on a cosmic plane. You see, those armies were still there when they got done bowing their head. They hadn't keeled over, they hadn't died. But when they opened their eyes from that prayer, everything changed for that young servant. Why? Something physical changed? No, nothing physical had changed, but everything was different now. It wasn't that the obstacle was removed. He now got a perspective of the situation from heaven's vantage point. And oftentimes what we need when we find ourselves in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulties, yes, there might be a time where we plead for God's mercy and say, God, deliver me from this circumstance. Deliver me from this situation. God, make it more comfortable for me. But I want to say this, maybe God is using that in his divine providence to work on you. And it might be that the miracle he provides for you won't involve a change in situation or a change in circumstances. What the miracle might be for you is a broader, more lofty, more heavenly perspective of what God is doing on a cosmic plane. And I'm telling you, when you get a glimpse of that, when you start seeing things as God sees them, when you start viewing things like God views them, it changes everything. When you were once full of fear and overwhelmed and confused about what we need to do, all of a sudden, when you get that perspective, like Elisha, you can boldly and confidently say, fear not, it's okay. God's in control. He is with us, and he is greater than the opposition. While nothing on the circumstance, nothing on the physical plane changed, everything changed from that vantage point. This is the miracle of a changed perspective. Now, if you're like me and I'm reading this passage and I'm thinking to myself, okay, yeah, I get it. Yeah. But the reality is, preacher, you know, when you go to this passage, God did literally allow the servant to see the physical angelic host with his physical eyes. You say, I mean, if God would physically allow me to see the angelic host and the manifestations of his presence, then I might trust. Then I might believe. Then my heart would be at ease and be at peace. I mean, this servant literally got to see it with his physical eyes. And if God would show me with my physical eyes, if he would reveal to me exactly what it is he's doing in this marriage situation, if he would reveal to me with my physical eyes exactly what he's doing through this health situation or in this financial difficulty, if God would literally just show me exactly what he was doing, if he did for me, what he did for that servant, then of course I would have confidence in him if he just laid it all out. Which got me thinking a little bit. The Bible says in verse number 13, this is kind of a little side note here, but the Bible says all this happened in a city. Now, this is a Wednesday evening Bible study. In verse number 13, where did this take place? Talk to me for a second. Dothan. Now, here's something really interesting about Dothan. As you study here, I want you to see that when Elisha prayed and he asked for God to open the eyes of his servant, it wasn't like God was in heaven like, oh, well, wait a second. Hey, Elisha's praying that God would not open this servant's eyes. He thought, man, I better put something down there so when his eyes are open, he can see something. What I'm trying to say is this was not a staged production. Like God somehow was like, okay, nah, I better put some angelic hosts down there. I better make the manifestation of my presence very real so when I open this guy's eyes, he'll actually see what's going on. This was not a stage production. These angelic hosts were there in Dothan. They were there, and Elisha just wanted his servant to see what was already happening in Dothan. As you study your Bible, you're going to find that the city of Dothan is only mentioned one other time in the scriptures. Genesis chapter number 37. Just like there were men ready to destroy Elisha and Dothan, many years before there was another young man in Dothan with people ready to destroy him as well. Remember his name? Joseph. Joseph gets sent by his father here to go find his brothers. He stops by some shepherds and they say, I think we saw your brothers in Dothan. And so he goes there and he finds his brothers. Of course, his brothers say, hey, here comes our little brother, Joseph. Let's kill him in Dothan.
Older brother comes along and says, no, let's not kill, let's just throw him in a pit for a little while. And I'm sure as Joseph was down in that pit, he was praying. But God answered Joseph's prayer a little bit different. That time, as he prayed, the angels didn't necessarily reveal themselves. They stayed, what I would say, undercover. But they protected him nonetheless. As Joseph then sold into slavery, that pit literally became a pathway to the palace. And for those dozen years, Joseph had no idea what was going on. He sensed no manifestation of God's presence. And yet the reality is God's presence was sovereignly moving him along through that progression. God had a plan for his life. God was protecting him every step of the way. And just like God was protecting Elisha and Dothan, God was there in Dothan as well. And you say, what are you trying to say by that? What I'm trying to say is more than you need a sight of the angels, you need insight into the heart of God. You need insight to remind you that God is with you, God loves you, and God is for you. You can trust him. And you might not get a sight of the angels like that servant did, but you can stand confidently knowing that your God is in control. And that, yes, on the stage of your life, when it feels like things are crumbling around you, the reality is this: God is in control, and you can trust him every step of the way. And what might appear like the end from the grand stage of your life, just know that here behind the curtain, backstage, God is working all things together for good to them that love him. God's working. So as we said, sometimes God fixes our problems. Aren't you thankful when he does that? But often he fixes our perspectives of the problem instead. And my friend, that is a miracle of epic proportion. When you can begin to view things as God views it and see it as God sees it, it makes all the difference in your soul. That's when you're able to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Not because the situation is right, but because the Savior's right. No, you don't know how all the details on the grand stage of your life is going to turn out, but you trust the one who literally holds all things in the palm of his hand. And you know that he loves you, he cares about you, and you can trust him. I don't have time to give you the rest of this story, but in verses 18 through 22, God does come through and he does do a miracle in this situation. It's awesome. You read down through verse number 22 and eventually they come to a place where the Bible says this band of armies, they came no more into the land of Israel. And somebody might say, well, if God was going to take care of the army anyways, why didn't God fix the problem before he changed the young man's perspective? I mean, if God was going to take care of the situation, if he was going to solve the circumstances, why didn't God just go ahead and do that first? Because God wants to do more than just resolve the situation. He wants to restore your faith in him. God is more concerned with your heart than necessarily your happenstance. But as human beings, if we're not careful, we almost start to view God like some cosmic genie in the sky. And it's like, God, you better change this circumstance. You better give me comfortable, comfortable situation experiences to go through. And God, if you don't do that, then I don't even know if you're going to be real. Rather than just saying, you know what? God is great and I trust him. Because more than God wants to resolve the situation, he wants to restore your faith in him. So as we close, if you're here today and the problems of life are just bearing down on you, And it feels like an army of the enemy is just kind of coming down. Literally, it's come knocking on your door. And some of you feel like that right now. Like the trials and the obstacles, they used to be out there, but now they're coming home. Now they're on your doorstep, knocking on your door, trying to barge into your house. And you're like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I want to ask you, would you pray for the miracle of a fresh perspective? So that you can see the God of angel armies working all things together for your ultimate good and His ultimate glory. So I close with this. Yes, the armies against us are great. But the armies for us are far greater. And you can trust Him.